And turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We didn't finish up last time, but we're in verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. I want to say something in the very first part of this, that a lot of times in messages, people really brighten up when they hear this word, conclusion. A lot of people set up and listen a little bit better when you not here, but I'm just saying, I've been in places where you, and in conclusion, if people set up straight. You know, they're getting ready now. But verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of our lives, the things you've done for us. Lord, we thank you most of all for salvation, Lord, for saving our souls. Lord, we thank you for the night, Lord. You bless us that we can be here and worship you tonight. And Lord, please be with your word as it goes out, Lord, that you would use it to mold and make us as you want us to be, Lord, that you would cause your word to have effect in our lives, Lord. Lord, in the way you want it to. Lord, to be with us. Dad, as he's sick there, and Grandma and Grandpa McCorder, and others that are sick, Lord, be with them, Lord, and help them heal their bodies up, Lord, and be with Mom, she takes care of them there, and be with Daryl and Pat, Lord, just got any blessing situation there, Lord, you open up our eyes, that we can all see in what ways we can help, Lord, not just for them, but in all those that need help, Lord, that we would be willing to be used of you, Lord, in those situations, Lord, or just save those here tonight that are lost, Lord, and help us be a witness to them as we ought to be. Just be with those who be traveling this holiday season, Lord. Give them safety in their travels, Lord. Lord, just God, me bless in the services tonight. Help us to worship you. In His name, pray and ask these things. Amen. As we look at this, he says here in verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Now, we all know what a conclusion is. It's a summary of everything that's been said beforehand. It's a summary. If you think back and you look back on Ecclesiastes from chapter 1 all the way down to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, and you think about what he's talking about. Solomon takes you from your birth, from the birth in your life, from when you're born. And we know that Ecclesiastes is written about the flesh, and you may think, well, but it's a strange book to read. It's a different type of book to read, and it is. You have to remember that it's written about the flesh. But you think about it, we are in this flesh. We have this flesh to contend with every day of our life. We need to understand some things about it and understand that it cannot control us. And if you look and you look at a broad summary, in my words, our flesh is not to control us, but we are to control our flesh. We're supposed to tell our flesh what to do, where to go, and those things. But too many times in the world, if we're not careful, we'll allow our flesh to control us. It's what we'll do. You think about it. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. Has anybody got that one figured out yet? How to be angry and not to sin? Because what happens when you get angry? I know what happens when I get angry. I usually say something I regret or do something I regret because I've done it out of the flesh. And the flesh sins. Right? But he says here, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. From birth to death, what has Solomon told us in this book? How to handle the flesh. The things that are going to come up with the flesh." It's a summary of everything we have heard. And what is the conclusion of the whole matter? From the day we're born to the day we die, what is the conclusion to that? Just a small little sentence here. He says, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." In conclusion, he took 12 chapters to say, "Fear God and keep His commandments." That's what he did. Fear God and keep His commandments. From the day that we're born, we have two things, he says, to do. Number one, fear God. Number two, keep His commandments. From the day you're born to the day you die, we are the Lord's. We're to do what He says to do. We're not to do what we want to do. Too many times in this life, or in this world, and if we're not careful, we will fall into the same thought process that we go according to what we can do, the jobs we hold. There's a lot of times, and I work in construction, a plumber there. It used to bother me a lot. It used to bother, not that I was a plumber and working in construction, that didn't bother me. But when you tell some people that you're a plumber, oh, it used to bother me. But anymore, I kind of chuckle at it because you have no idea what I do. You may say, oh, now, but wait till your toilet clogs up. You'll be calling me wanting help. And then I'll go, oh. No, I won't. But, you know, it doesn't matter. We have laborers at work that, and it bothers me, and they have began toward, and I've told them, that bugs me when people say that. Like, just let it roll off your back. Don't worry about it. You got a laborer standing there, and somebody will come up and say, skilled trade coming through, and they're supposed to move. That bugs me. You ever done their job? I mean, we got laborers at work, and people say there's no training in that. I can't do their job. We have a laborer at work, plumber's laborer. He can come in and he can dig a ditch. And I'll tell you, I know when he digs my ditch, I don't have to bring a level or a shovel in. Because I'll guarantee you it's going to be on a quarter bubble fall, and it's going to be right. Almost every, every once in a while I've had to go get my level, but it's because he told me, I couldn't get this ditch exactly right. You're going to have to fill in some places. You know, he's told me up front. I mean, a lot of times in our life, the world judges according to what our accomplishments are. But God does not. God does not, according to the world, our accomplishments that we can see. We are to fear God. That's number one. We're to fear God. Say, we're to fear Him, but we're not to be afraid of Him. I struggle with how to say this because I don't really know how to say it because it uses the word fear. But from what I understand, I did a little study about this fearing God, how that we're to fear God. And some verses come to my mind and about this fearing the Lord. We'll look at these tonight and see what He says about fearing God. That we're not to be, I don't believe we're to be afraid of Him. But look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And I'll show you why that I'm saying that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. I'm in 1 Timothy. That verse really didn't look right. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Lord doesn't want us to be afraid. He says, He tells us, "I have not given you the spirit of fear, of being afraid of things." He says, "I haven't given you that, but I've given you given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind." Not a fear. So when He says fear God, how can He tell us in one verse to fear Him and in the next verse say, "I haven't given you a spirit of fear"? If that fear means to be afraid, is what I'm saying. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's start in verse 15. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, just without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." If someone wants you to be afraid of them, they don't want you to come boldly to them. They want you to come hunkered down in fear. But the Lord says He wants us to come boldly. He wants us to be at peace coming to Him. He wants us to come to Him. So, when He says fear God, He doesn't mean to be afraid to pray to Him, to be afraid to seek Him. He doesn't mean that. And so what I've done to better understand, I looked up some things. From what I can understand, the word fear there means to give honor, reverence. It's like this. With my children, Dad told me this a long time ago when I was a child, and I didn't understand it. Okay, I understood as a child, understood things. He told me, said, because I talked to him one time when I was a kid about fear, things like that, and he said, before you can truly love your parents, you have to fear them. And as a child, I thought, that's a bunch of baloney. If I fear you, how can I love you? But he was talking this kind of fear. I was talking a childish fear of being afraid. Okay? And I understand that now because with my children, I don't want them to be afraid of me. Okay? I want them to be willing to come to me with anything they have. But my position deserves respect. Okay, as their father, I don't want them to be afraid of me, as the Lord does not want us to be afraid of Him, but He wants us to reverence Him. He wants us to obey Him. Just as I with my father, my children with me, you with your parents, you with your children, know where the authority's at. To know that, and that's what He's saying here: to reverence, to set up where they belong, to put the authority where it belongs, and submit yourself to that. And know that they are the ones in charge, to know that, to accept their authority over you and do what they say. And that's what I understand about that reverence and to honor. The Bible says to honor your parents and the Lord. You're talking to children, honor thy father and thy mother. Let's look at some verses here. Turn, if you will, to 1 Samuel. Chapter 12. I looked up some verses that talk about fearing the Lord, that tells us to fear the Lord. Let's look at what they say. I'll let the Bible do the explaining instead of me because I'm sure I'll get it confused. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Excuse me. In verse 14, we'll just read this one verse. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14 says, "If you will fear the Lord," and he's talking to Israel, "if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God." You say, well, that's in the Old Testament, that's written to the nation of Israel. I believe it can be written to us too today. That if we will fear the Lord, reverence Him, put Him where He belongs, okay, serve Him, and obey His voice. Now, He's talking to a nation, but He's telling them as individuals, if you'll do this, your nation will do this. The voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye as individuals, ye and also the king that reigneth over you, continue following the Lord your God. You may say, well, that hasn't happened in our country. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's because the first part of this verse hasn't happened. It's going away in our country. If ye will fear the Lord, how many places, like Dad mentioned on Sunday, you can't put the Ten Commandments up in a public place anymore. People don't fear the Lord. They don't reverence Him. They don't put Him where He belongs. They have kind of take Him down and put themselves where He belongs, is what they're doing. They're not fearing the Lord. They're not reverencing Him. They're not respecting Him. They're not respecting His authority, His power, His might. They're not fearing Him. Therefore, this is not happening. But if we would fear Him, and do what is right, then this would happen. Because it says here it would. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And verse 12. Let's read verse 12 and 13. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" So it's not something that He wishes of you. It's something He says He requires that we need to be, that we're supposed to be doing. It says, "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day for thy good." So He tells it there again. He's talking to Israel, and it could be for us as well, that we're to fear the Lord. We are to walk in His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And we're to keep His commandments because it's for our good, to follow Him. And that right there is another almost summary of what Solomon has said through Ecclesiastes. How many times in Ecclesiastes did He say, did the Lord say in Ecclesiastes that it is good for a man to... it's going away from me. To live right, to have good morals. I'm paraphrasing, of course. To have good morals, to live right, and treat people right, to obey the Lord in those things. I mean, it's for His commandments are for our good. We're to fear the Lord, put Him where He belongs, and keep Him there. Understand that He is our authority. There's times at work when you'll see different subs working, different contractors working there, and the boss will leave. You don't even have to know the boss left. You don't have to see the boss leave to know the boss left. Okay? Because some of the guys quit working. Some of them stopped working. It happens. Why is that? Because they don't put Him where He belongs. They don't understand that He is their boss. They don't like it. Had a guy working for me one time that he was an older gentleman. He was an old-timer. And I enjoyed working with old-timer. They teach me a lot of stuff. And hopefully that phrase is not... Hopefully nobody gets offended by that phrase, old-timer. I don't mean it mean. But he didn't like me being his boss. And he would not do what I said because I was his boss. So my boss got rid of him. So then he wasn't working. But he did not want to listen to me because I was like half his age. But then I've worked with other guys that are older than me, about ready to retire, and they didn't have a bitter problem with me. I would come to them a lot of times and ask them advice because they knew a lot more than I did about situations. But yet, they would always, and I'm just thinking of one guy in particular, Terry Meyer, he would always say, "This is what I would do, Paul. But you remember, you're the boss. You're the one that has to live with that decision. You're the one that's going to get talked to about this decision. But this is what I would do." And I really appreciated him, the way he handled himself. And it made me want to take real good care of him. But we need to fear the Lord. Put Him where He belongs. Put the Lord where He belongs. Look in Joshua chapter 24. Starting in verse 14, which y'all know this scripture here, Joshua 24:14, says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, you look at this in 4:14, how he words this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Okay? Same thing we were told there in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear the Lord. Fear God. But he goes on and says, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away God, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Did you know you could come to church, you could come in here, sit down, turn to the pages, turn to the Scriptures. You could even pray when called on to pray, if you're a saved gentleman in here, and not fear the Lord because you're not doing it sincerely and the truth. Because you're going through the motions of those. He says, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Serve the Lord. Are you getting the idea that when he says fear the Lord, he's not talking about be afraid of Him by these verses? Are you starting to get that idea there? I was. That he's not talking about being afraid of the Lord. He's not talking about not wanting to go to the Lord because you're afraid to. Now, there's some times that we don't want to go to the Lord. It's not out of fear, it's out of shame. That we don't want to go to the Lord because we've sinned. And we're going to go to Him once more and ask for forgiveness for our failures. But we're not going to Him out of fear. Why is it that we feel ashamed? Because we've sinned. Yeah? But you think about it. If we didn't fear Him, if we didn't reverence Him, if we didn't honor Him and know where we belong and where He belongs, would it bother us to go to Him asking for forgiveness again? Would we even go to Him asking for forgiveness? Fear the Lord. Fear Him. Remember who He is. Look in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. To me, this verse sums up about the fear of the Lord. To me, this verse does. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's go ahead and read verse 5 and 6 also. I should have started there. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When you fear the Lord, in this sense here, what he's telling us to fear God, we understand where he is, we understand the power that He has, we understand the authority that He has and what He can do. We understand that we're not afraid of Him. Okay? That's not the case. We're afraid of Him. But if we don't do what verse 7 says and we become wise in our own eyes, then we're placing ourselves above the Lord. We're no longer fearing Him. We're no longer reverencing Him. We're no longer honoring Him. But instead, we're making ourselves out to be above Him, is what we're doing. He says, fear God, is what He says in Ecclesiastes. The summary to the whole matter is, number one, to fear God. Fear Him. Keep Him, number one. What was the whole thing through Ecclesiastes about? About the flesh. What happens when you let the flesh begin to lead you? It begins to place itself higher and higher and higher and higher. Because the flesh does not want anybody bossing it around. Doesn't want anybody telling it what to do. Doesn't want that. The flesh wants to be the number. The flesh says it's number one. The Lord says, no, flesh, I'm number one. And you put me number one. We're to fear God. We're to fear Him. Not to be afraid of Him, but we're to reverence Him. To honor Him, to give Him glory and honor. That is our job. That is our, I hate to say job. I don't like that because that's what the Lord has for us to do here, is to give Him glory and honor. So when He says here, look back in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. When He says here to fear God, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He doesn't mean to be afraid of the Lord. He means to reverence Him, put Him where He belongs, honor Him. Remember, we're talking about from the day we're born, we are to be put in our place. We're to remember where our place is at. And keep the Lord as number one all the way to the day we die. To not give up the fight. Not give up. But to keep the Lord where He belongs. Where He belongs in our life, to remember where we belong. And remember what the Lord's given us. Because where do we belong? I mean, yes, I know we belong to Him. But where do we deserve to be? We don't deserve to be saved. No one here can raise their hand and say they deserve to be saved. If you raised your hand, we'd all question whether you're saved or not. Oh, we don't deserve to be saved. We know that. It's by His grace and His mercy that He's done this for us. We keep Him where He needs to be. We fear Him. We reverence Him. He goes on in this verse, not only are we to fear God, but you think about it. If we don't fear God, we're not doing the second part of this. We're not going to. Just fear God and keep His commandments. That's the two things we're to do. The conclusion, whole matter. Fear God, number one. That's number one. Second one, and keep His commandments. And the first verse I thought of with this is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Most of the time, when I think of commandments, I think of this verse. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. And you'll probably know what it says. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not something we do because we have to do. They're something we do because we want to do. We keep His commandments because we want to. Because we love Him. We want to honor and glorify Him. Oh. That's what we want to do for Him. Tell you, as a child, I always enjoyed obeying my parents. I did. I enjoyed it. I didn't always like what I was having to do, but I enjoyed obeying them because there was it was a special time. Not that I didn't always obey them, but I mean, it just felt close to them when you obeyed them, and you did what they said because you was on the good side. Just like we do when we obey the Lord, when we keep His commandments. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we desire to. Because we want to obey Him. We want to follow Him. Because we know, just as when we were children and our parents told us to do something, we do that because we know it's for our good. We know that. We know that our parents are not going to ask us to do anything that's going to hurt us. Well, it's just like with a child. We've had to do this with every one of our children. They learn what hot is. But it's not by the Word. I mean, just like us with the Lord. The Lord tells us, that's hot. What do we got to do? Go up and touch it. That's hot. Yeah, I told you. Now next time you'll remember. When I say hot, that's hot. That's how our children, not that we purposely let them burn themselves, but you know, they finally get something and they realize what hot means. So, keep His commandments. Follow the Lord. Know that what He says is going to be the best for us. Because why? Because He's over us. He's our authority. He's our head. He's our Heavenly Father. Keep His commandments. Dad went over Sunday the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. We need to keep the Ten Commandments. So, well, that's in the Old Testament. They're still good. They're still good. They're good to keep. They're good to follow. Those Ten Commandments. And I thought of another commandment in the Bible that the Lord tells us to do. That's very good to do. Look, if you will, in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is His commandment. This is the Lord's commandment, right here. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. If you're here today and lost, this commandment says you are to believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. You're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to believe on Him. You're to believe that He came and believe on Him that He can save you. He came and died on the cross. He lived, died on the cross, buried, and rose again for you, for me, for our sins. That's a commandment. Keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. Look back in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's what we're to do. We're to follow His commandments. Well, it'd be real hard for you to keep the commandments of the Lord if you didn't know what they were, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to do. I went to work at True Manufacturing for a little bit, just for Legacy, doing adding some bathrooms there. Going there, and I've gotten the habit of when you go into a different place, especially a factory, ask them, is there any rules that I need to know about, I need to follow? Anything I need to know about? I don't think so. No, I think you're good. You know, just watch for traffic and don't get run over by no forklift. You'll be all right. I said, okay. So I go in there, I'm working away, and a guy comes up to me and says, hey, you don't have your guards on. What? What do you mean my guards on? I don't know what you mean. And he says, your arm guards. I don't have any. I need some. So he gave me some arm guards to put on. He says, that's one of our rules. Is there anything else I need to know? I asked him twice. You have a pamphlet of rules that I can read and I can follow these rules. It's just like we have a rule book right here, right? If you don't read the rule book, can you follow the rules? Can you follow the commandments? They would not give me a rule book. I broke like three rules the first day. They were getting upset at me. The boss finally came over and told me, look, we got a problem here. I said, yeah, we do. Nobody will tell me the rules. Nobody will tell me what I need to be doing. And I keep getting caught doing something. I was listening to an MP3 player, and a guy said, you can't do that. You can't have headphones on. Okay, is there any rules I need to know? Any other rules I need to know? I got to wear these arm guards, no MP3 player, what else? You don't have your safety glasses on. No, I don't. Nobody told me about them. You know, if you don't tell me, I don't know. You know, and we'll break the rules. It's just like you want to keep the commandments of the Lord. Have you got your Bible out and found any? Have you read them? Whenever we think of commandments, we always think of the Ten Commandments, don't we? Think of those. They're good. They're great commandments to keep. But that's not the only commandments in the Bible. That's not the only ones. There's other ones in the Bible we need to keep. There's other ones we need to follow. Have you ever looked for them? Have you ever sat down and you can't do a search and look up commandment and find them all? They're not all just right there, this is a commandment, here it is. We need to read the Bible. We need to study it. Find out what the commandments are to keep. Why? So, well, why should I do that? Because of the last part of this verse. He says, for or because this is the whole duty of man. And you look at this verse. I'm going to read it without the italicized words. He says, for this, the whole of man. This is us. This is it. The whole of us is not this possessions. It's not this flesh. It's not everything we can gain in this world. It's not all that. The whole of man is fearing God and keeping His commandments. That's it. That's what we are. It's to serve the Lord and follow and keep His commandments. Our, if you will, our job is to follow the Lord. Our duty is to follow Him. Look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our reasonable service, what is expected of us? Our reasonable service is to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We're to serve Him. We're to follow Him. That's our duty. Look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Say, well, how do I do all this? I don't understand how I do it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. To me, this is a real good starting point. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We'll lay those aside. Don't follow the sin in your life. Don't follow the flesh. Understand and know that the flesh will lead you in the wrong direction every time. Every time the flesh will lead you in the wrong direction. We need to follow what the Lord says. Keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. Why? Because this is the whole duty of man. And all through Ecclesiastes, He said, the Lord said, that it is good that we would enjoy the fruit of our labor. And enjoy it. To work. Enjoy those things. To follow the Lord in that. To treat people right and do right. Our whole duty is to follow the Lord and keep His Word. Look back in Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12:13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Why should we pay attention to what our duty is? Because God will bring every work into judgment. Every work. Some people may say, well, yeah, but this one don't count, that one don't count. He says, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything we say, everything we think, everything we do, every place we go, everything. Everything. You look at this. Listen to what He says. "For God shall bring every work into judgment." Every work. There's no exceptions here. Everything we do will be brought to judgment. Everything. Why is it important from the day we're born until the day we die to serve the Lord? Why is it important to fear God and keep His commandments? Why? Number one, because it's our duty. It's what the Lord has given us to do. And then He says, and He's going to judge us for what we do. He's going to judge us on what we do. Every work will be brought. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." No matter if nobody else in the world knows about it, it's going to be there. It will be judged. Every secret thing. I tell you what, you know, we like to think about it like this. Every good secret thing we've ever done, everybody's going to know about then. And that's okay, right? That's okay. But on the other hand, also, every bad thing we've ever done that nobody knows about, everybody's going to know about then. It's going to be brought into judgment. Right there it is. We'll be judged for it. Because, you know, is there anything that you really honestly done in secret? I'm talking from the Lord's standpoint. There's nothing done in secret from the Lord's standpoint. He knows about it all. He sees everything we do. He knows everything we do. He knows why we do everything we do. Every work will be brought into judgment. And look at this. He says, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, nothing's going to escape. Nothing. The conclusion to the whole matter. I meant to go through here and count up how many verses he covered through Ecclesiastes 1:1 to Ecclesiastes 12:12, and he summed it up in two verses. The whole thing. Everything. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Listen to it again. Fear God, number one. Number two, and keep His commandments. Why? For this is the whole duty of man. And remember, while you're doing all that, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I mean, if we can remember these things, how much better would our life be if before we'd done something we thought, I'm going to be judged for this one day. I don't think I want to do it. I don't think so. It's kind of like we teach our children and we learn until the day we die over and over again to stop and think before we talk. Stop and think before we say anything. We should also teach our children to stop and think before we do. You know, we should learn too, but how many times do we have to learn that over and over again? Stop and think. What does the Lord want me to do? Is this going to be pleasing to the Lord? Is this what the Lord has for me? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's a whole summary of everything there. The whole book of Ecclesiastes is there. That's what we need to do. Fear God and keep His commandments. Because it's the whole duty of man. If you're here today and you're lost, we read the commandment to you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a request. It's a commandment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you want to be saved, ask Him. Go to Him and ask the Lord to save you, and He will. And I remember somebody telling me that one time, and I told them, and I was aggravated about it because they told me that over and over and over again. And I told them, I have, and he didn't. You know what they said? Keep asking. Ask Him again. That was not the answer I was looking for. I'm glad that was the answer I got. Because I did what they said. And the Lord did save me. And He will save you too. You keep asking. You keep going to Him. And He'll save you. You go to Him a lost sinner deserving hell. Give up. Quit trying. That's what I was doing when I was lost and I was asking. I was believing in my asking. I was trying to be saved. Believe on Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what He says in His Word. So, but appreciate your attention tonight to the message. If we'll let stand, we'll have a song of invitation.